This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, Lori and Julia Show for your Tuesday here on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. Give me just a couple of seconds here, ladies, to give kudos to one of our listeners of the male persuasion. If you look at who are the songwriters for Wagon Wheel, you will see one Bob Dylan.
Oh, that's right.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Here's a story. Here's a little bit of the audio for you. All right, that is this goes back to 1973, and he made a sketch of the song for the movie Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, which he was in, I believe. He never finished the song, never finished it, but many years later, Old Crow Medicine Show, they used the chorus and part of the chord progression, and then they finished the song, Wagon Wheel.
Oh, I love that. And of course, we were talking about that because Kesha and Old Crow Medicine Show is set for a CMT Crossroads on December 6th, and that's just a great special when they take, you know, like a country act and
that.
Then someone else.
I've seen many of them. It's very good.
Yeah, they're really, really good. And yeah, that's cool. And I remember hearing that one time that Bob Dylan is one of the co-writers of Wagon Wheel because of that.
Is.
And of course, a lot of people thought Darius Rucker like you
yes,
did.
Yes, I did. I thought it was his song.
That's a great song.
It's a great song.
Mm-hmm. And Old Crow Medicine Show, they have a couple other songs that you would know. But since I don't remember song names, I only remember
Donnie,
years.
And we're changing something.
We're changing Shazam.
Oh, we're going to do the artists.
No, we're going to do the year.
We're going to do the year.
Oh, the year.
Song came out.
Yep.
All right.
So you're going to give us a song.
And then we're going to come up with
the year. Because more often than not, people, this is just a theory that Julie and I have, that you can remember the grade or the age.
Very true.
Closer.
Yes, I agree with that.
Than anything. And sometimes we'll do that when a song is on. We'll go,
fourth grade.
1988. Mm-hmm. Or you guys just did it for the Eagles. We were talking about
1978 at the Met Center.
When?
Met Stadium.
1978.
Remember who the opening act was?
Steve Miller Band.
Was that who it was?
Yep.
I think Pablo Cruz was on the bill, too.
Well,
that might have been. Julia missed that one.
No, it could have included him, too, but I think it was Steve Miller Band.
Because the Eagles are going to be at Target Field next summer on June 30th, and tickets go on sale a week from Saturday. So, yeah, they're going to do a string of stadium dates. So that East and West Coast thing, they liked it.
I think, that'll be.
And Glenn Frey's son, Deacon, is taking Glenn's place. So.
Yes, and Vince Gill plays with them, too.
Oh, that's right, Donnie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, he's an amazing guitar player.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is. Okay, so Rolling Stone magazine is saying that Call Me By Your Name is the sexiest movie of 2017. It's the sensual, passionate story of two young men discovering romance in Italy. It's an instant romantic classic.
Yes.
And this has been, here's what Peter Travers writes, and I like reading his reviews. He's a longtime movie critic for Rolling Stone. He said, here's the movie of the year for incurable romantics. A rapturous ode to first love that sweeps you up on waves of dizzying eroticism, and then sweetly, emphatically leaves you emotionally shattered.
Oh, wow. Dear.
And so for almost a year, and this is directed by an Italian person, I think it's a guy, Luca Guadagnino, who did a movie called I Am Love and a bigger splash. He's considered a master cinema Sensualist. Okay,
his movies. What a title! I'm a cinema sensualist. That could sensualist. Be a new. That could be a new title for us. Hello, I'm a cinema sensualist. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I love the postman always rings twice in Il Postino.
Oh my gosh! Because I'm a cinema sensualist. Yeah. I love that title.
Okay, so it's been a sensation. This movie, Call Me by Your Name, for almost a year on the film festival circuit.
Okay.
And so it goes into wide release, and it's set in Northern Italy in the summer of 1983.
Which was a great year.
And this love story just takes you to a place in that everyone has, gay, straight, bi, mm-hmm. whatever you are, where passion and memory collide. And so there's this Italian guy, he's 17, he's multilingual, he's musically gifted, he's skilled at flirting with all the local girls near the villa of his parents, an American mm-hmm. professor and his wife. Then this intern from the U.S. arrives.
Armie Hammer.
To assist his father with research.
And he looks beautiful.
He's a handsome, athletic charmer. He's 24. Okay, and in the movie, though, and I guess it's based on a book. This book, Call Me By Your Name, is based on a book. The older guy, the 24-year-old, right. waits for the younger guy
to turn 18.
The 17. No, but for he has the young person, the younger person approach him.
Okay.
And at first, you know, Elio is irritated by Oliver. He's like, his American slang. He always says later and he doesn't say goodbye or ciao. And, you know, he's got an attention grabbing body. He's kind of jealous because then all the girls are looking at him. Then the slow attraction develops. You know, we've seen this. Mm-hmm. And they dance around their unspoken attraction. Anyway, so the older guy waits for him to make the initial move, but then, you know, like everything happens with a furt, confusion, mm-hmm. lust.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they just said it is unbelievable.
It's got a 98%. Yeah. It's rated R, so it does have nudity, sexual content. 98% of Rotten Tomatoes.
The movie is bound to be compared to such recent gay film movies as Brokeback Mountain, Carol, and Moonlight, yeah. but this masterpiece goes its own transcendent way.
Because a cinema sensualist.
It's a cinema sensualist. Directed it. Anyway, it's...
sounds lovely. It opens on Friday.
Yeah, it's a swooning new mm-hmm. classic and one of the very best movies of the year. And Armie Hammer is on the cover of the Hollywood Reporter.
Looking
10,000 shades of handsome.
We met him. He, he's absolutely...
Was he on the red carpet
for? Yes, he was on the red carpet for... don't tell us.
Oh, I know what it was.
It was the one in he was wearing like G.I. Joe clothes.
Wasn't it the Facebook movie where he played twins?
Yes, Donnie.
I think, wasn't he in that? The social network?
Oh, the social network. Oh,
didn't he play the Winklevoss?
Yes, yeah, he was the Winklevoss.
He was the Winklevi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we saw him
He grew up in the Cayman Islands. He's the Armie Hammer of Armie Hammer.
Know,
very privileged.
Yes.
And he is fun as hell to follow on Twitter.
And it was right before, because we talked to him, it was right after he got busted bringing pot against from Mexico into Texas.
Yes.
He I remember
very
it vividly.
Funny and he's tall and he's great to follow on Instagram and Twitter.
Yes, we're going to remind him that we're cinema sensualists.
Sensualists. Are you going to do that? And so anyway, it's a great interview in the Hollywood Reporter. And then also this Mudbound, which our dear friend Sonia saw at Sundance
said it's
absolutely unbelievable.
It's on Netflix right now. You can watch it.
Yeah, it's available. And this is the one that Mary J. Blige is supposedly going to get Oscar nominated. But it's also adapted from a book. And it's a story about a friendship between veterans bonded by war but divided by race in the Jim Crow South. And the other movie that they're saying is going to be an instant classic.
Mm-hmm.
But that one we can see on Netflix.
Yeah, we can.
So we got to watch that.
And then the one that I watched that I love so much, the Meyerowitz stories last night. It's got a terrible name, but is such a...
Is it W, or can you spell it for us?
M-E-Y-E-R-W-I-T-Z.
Meyerowitz.
Meyerowitz story.
Hard to say.
And it's got a quirky cast. It's about a quirky family getting together and the things that happen.
All right. So I call. I hope this Call Me By Your Name will go into wider release. I'm sure it'll just open at Lagoon or Diner or something.
Right, Friday.
But we have been hearing about this since like May. And Army could very well be at the Screen Actor Guild Awards.
Yes, he could.
Julia, and I'm sure he's going to remember his Minnesota ladies.
I'm sure, because we had such a moment with him.
We did have a moment with
both
him.
Both Armie Hammer and his co-star Timothée Chalamet have been nominated for the an Independent Spirit Award.
Oh, okay.
Which just came out today.
Okay. Those nominations.
And then Kevin Hart was really, Wendy Williams didn't say him by name, but she talked about a guest she's had one time only, when he came on the show, wrapped his arms around her and said, he said, my staff saw it, the people in the audience saw it. I was only year three, rested his head in my bosom.
Because it's bounty full.
Yeah.
It's probably half the size of him.
Yeah, and that might, but she said, I mean, he deliberately, like, you know, put his face in there because she hugs everybody.
Yep.
And she was so shocked. She said, but I'll tell you, I'll never have him on my show again, this person. And then she also imitated, you know, he has sort of a squeaky way of talking.
I didn't know that. I know his wife just delivered the baby.
Yeah, but he kind of has an energetic, squeaky tone. And she imitated him. And so she didn't say his name. She said, but now I've been on 9 years, I'd be comfortable pushing a guest who did that to me through my little glass table here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because the height difference, I mean, he's like 5, probably 4. And when he'd go in to hug her, he is right at boob level.
Right,
you know,
but there is a way that
I can
you
see
hug
him.
People,
yeah,
you know.
Okay.
Anyway, but I did like that he has a whole theory about anytime he's not cast in a movie, he always thinks to himself, "Well, I would have turned it down anyway." So he did kind of have a funny story about he wasn't cast in The Lion King, but he was going to turn it down anyway.
Oh, what show was he on?
He was at the Barclays Uber Visa event in Hollywood on Saturday night. Yeah. You know, one of those.
Yes.
One of those. I got to get away from the wife and let her have a bath by myself.
Well, she just had a baby this weekend.
I know, but I just have a feeling he bounces around Hollywood getting in trouble, if you know what I'm saying.
I do.
All right, listen, we got to go. It's time for the Dirt Alert.
My Talk 1.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Well, hello, good evening, ladies.
Hello, what do you got for us?
You know, all sorts of dirt to get to. Let's start with just some kind of relationship news, shall we?
All
so
right.
This one's a bit of a bummer. Jenny Garth and her husband are taking some time apart, Dave Abrams.
Read it to us so we can Hollywood speak that statement.
Okay, so here's what a source tells. Well, okay, so her rep told Us Weekly that they're splitting, and this is only just 2 years after tying the knot. So let me get the exact statement from...
Okay. The
her
rep.
People, because what I also have is the back stuff that Page Six is reporting from sources who say that they're still trying to make it work, but they haven't been living together. They love each other, but like every marriage, it takes work. Jenny is taking time to focus on her girls and herself. So
I'm in a Hollywood speak.
Yeah, continue.
The new husband.
He's a restaurateur and an actor. He's almost 10 years younger than her.
Yeah, and he works a lot of hours, and he didn't realize what it would like being having kids. And I think always what happens is if you don't have the conversation up front, he's over-disciplining, getting involved with disciplining the kids. She's their mother.
She's
in charge of discipline.
They have,
and they're fighting over that. This is Jenny Garth. This is why I think they're breaking up. And because he's 10 years younger, he's not a dad.
No, and he's probably a little fiery because he's 10 years younger.
And it's a natural inclination. Guys want, they think that they're going to step in the middle and fix things. When you get married to somebody and you're not the parent of the kids, you got to be very upfront. You're in charge of discipline. I am not.
And I'm here for fun and support.
That's right. And that never happened. And that's what's causing the problems with Jenny Garth and her husband.
And Jenny Garth has three daughters with her ex-husband, Peter Facinelli. They're 20, 14, and 11.
Mm-hmm.
So they are in the thick of it.
Yeah, they are.
And you'll remember that she and Peter Facinelli split in 2012 after 11 years of marriage. Mm-hmm. She posted a message about resilience on Instagram.
Yeah, no, today. that's like a sad thing to, you know, break up over, but they're going to have counseling or something because he is not the dad. They have a mom and a dad, and so yeah, it's not his place.
He has to figure out what his role is.
Yeah, and his role.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Like you said, is it be fun and supportive? It's the greatest thing. It's like being the fun uncle or the fun auntie.
When I know, married but Casey, even more benefits.
I know. When I married Casey, he said, you're not involved in discipline. I was like, oh, thank God.
Right.
You know.
But you had that conversation. When did you have that conversation?
Before we got married, which was just a couple days after we started dating. So we really had to have an accelerated pace.
Elizabeth, honest to Pete, it was.
But it is a thing when someone else has kids. And, you know, I mean, you're coming in as the bonus. Mm-hmm. And so bonus means fun.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about fun. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. They are living life. They're having so much fun.
Yep.
She arrived in London this week. She's staying with Prince Harry at the palace. She wrapped her last season on Suits, and she is immersing herself in London life. And Harry has made no secret of the fact that he wants to marry her. She is the one. These two are loving life together.
Isn't that sweet?
It's very sweet. We're just darling.
We're ready, though, for the royal engagement because the anniversary happened last night, the 70th anniversary. At Windsor.
Oh, right. Yes.
And so we have just a window of 3 weeks before we get into the Buckingham Palace Christmas calendar, and an engagement can't happen then. I don't understand why the royal engagement can't be part of the fun.
That should be the highlight of the fun.
Yeah.
What is the deal? They're getting too stuffy. They have been too stuffy for centuries.
Yeah. We're not going to change that, I guess.
No, but Meghan Markle might help lighten things up a little bit. Plus, you know, you got a royal ginger in the house. Prince Harry, he's doing a good job. Mm-hmm. He's very nice. They're two happy people. They're very much in love. Chrissy Teigen and John Legend, also very much in love. They are now expecting their second child.
Why did we know you were bringing us the baby
because
news?
Because I bring baby news. I have babies and I bring news. That's just the way that it goes. Plus, I love Chrissy Teigen talking so much about how they've dealt with infertility struggles. I know so many couples who have dealt with this, and I think the more that people talk about it, the more they feel open about it, and they're not suffering in silence, which is a huge deal.
And she also had postpartum
depression. Yeah.
She's very open. I adore her, but I saw something today that I was wondering if you were going to catch.
What?
9 years ago, Heidi Klum and Spencer got married.
Wait.
No, not Heidi Klum.
No.
Heidi Montag.
And so I'm thinking we've had you working with us for 9 years, Elizabeth.
At least, because Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt were the only people that I have officially banned from the Dirt Alert, from the Dirt Alert for a time. There was like a 3 month period when I would refuse to speak of them. Remember
that?
We refused to
let you speak of them too.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan, you guys banned.
We had
a little bit.
Go Away Island.
We used to have this thing on our website.
Yeah. Like for a minute.
Boy, it's been a long time.
I know. I just thought.
Remember how much you didn't like me showing up at the beginning?
No, we don't remember that. I don't remember that.
No, well, it was right in the middle of our show, and suddenly you were going to come in and tell us about our show. That's how we viewed it, Elizabeth.
Yeah, that is true. It's totally true. Yeah. Donnie, it took like 6 months for them to warm up.
Not that long, Elizabeth. Be real. It took us like 2 days.
I loved you from day one.
Okay, maybe it took like a month for you to like me, 6 months for you to get my name right. And then we've been smooth sailing ever since.
Sure.
Sure. See, everyone's got their own memory.
I know it.
For a long time, you were Elizabeth Reeves.
Yeah, remember that?
That's right. That was Julia.
That was a good one. And then you, well, recently you just called me Reese Witherspoon.
I did.
Which I liked. I liked that one a lot. Are you guys watching that show, The Good Place, with Kristen Bell and Ted Danson?
No.
I only bring it up because it just got renewed for a third season, and it really is like critically acclaimed. People seem to really like it.
Have you watched it? I haven't.
And it's one that I kind of feel like I bring it up because I was wondering if you guys had watched it, and I thought maybe I should get into it.
Last year, there was so much death and sadness in my family. I couldn't find humor in a show about dead people in heaven and the afterlife. It just, I was just like, I can't.
That's fair.
It's too roused. So I just have never gone back to it. Well, I mean, that's really the reason.
It might be worth a shot if you're thinking about it. It is going to be around for another season. And of course, NBC already renewed This Is Us and Will and Grace for the next season.
Yeah.
Gabby Douglas, boy, this is a big story today, issuing a statement saying, I wasn't victim shaming when I was talking about my ex-teammate, Allie Raisman, because I was abused by her former team doctor, Larry Nassar, too.
Okay, but when she put out a statement, Gabby put out a thing, you have to dress responsibly, was her first reaction. You know, maybe that was part of her trauma, I mean, of her process or whatever.
She says, I know that no matter what you wear, it never gives anyone the right to harass or abuse you. It would be like saying that because of the leotards we wore, it was all our fault that we were abused by Larry Nassar.
I mean,
Nassar.
I got to believe every gymnast that was under that doctor's care got
100%.
All of them. And whether they've blocked the memories or they just don't feel like sharing it, you know, that's always up to each individual.
It is. Yeah. Right.
But I feel like every girl just about that he saw, he must have been doing.
Sure, you're right. And who's going to take that anchor seat? Charlie Rose, fired by CBS. Boy, did Nora and Gail look sad this morning.
They really
did. I hope they get some rest and start to move forward tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Elizabeth, so much. All right. We got Kenny coming up with the traffic, and then we come back. We've got a theory about muscular men. That's you, Kenny.
You're
right. Oh, he's so muscular.
Yeah, absolutely.
So strong. Look at those mighty arms, that thick neck. Fantastic.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Is that harassment?
No, I wish. This one's sponsored by Aldi. So we did have this rather boisterous outbound bounce going.
Well, duh.
I love that song, a little Kelly Clarkson.
Okay, all right. Now, this study of duh is to help all the women out there who want their guys to get a vasectomy. And for whatever reason or another, the man is dragging his feet about getting a little snip.
You hear about this.
Okay, so this study, to me, it seems like duh, like a no-brainer. But we, as we have found out over the last month, men and their wieners get into no ends of trouble. And there's nothing big to small to whatever. They just, idiots. But when it comes to their wiener, I mean, no. And it's duh. But
this was
a study that was done at Frankfurt University that guys who have a vasectomy have a higher sex drive. Check. Who doesn't want that?
After a vasectomy, you have a higher sex drive.
You have a better erection, stronger, firmer.
Serious?
And you have better orgasms.
Oh my God, why wouldn't you ever get one?
Now, why? Because this is the duh part.
Counterintuitive. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, this is not reported though, Lori. I haven't heard this.
The duh part of it is because no one's getting pregnant. So like couples that are together or even, you know, if a man knows he's not going to have a child, he's not willing, whatever, the stress of knowing you can't get somebody pregnant gives you firmer wood, more drive to do it. And just
even if you get it at a later age?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what age. Once whatever the reason is that a guy has a vasectomy. Okay. Sometimes it's he's married and his wife is just like, I don't want to be on the pill. Right. I've already pushed out the kids.
Right.
I've been the bun in the oven. You do something.
Do something.
You do something to take care so that I can have just my natural everything because you've maybe been on birth control pills since you were in high school or whatever. It makes sense. It's so easy now for men to get a vasectomy. It's the easiest thing in the world. I mean, it's like a laser. I don't even think, I mean, it's really simple.
Sure.
So thank you.
You cut the vas deferens.
Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the film at UMD.
I know. I remember the stars.
And I remember when my dad got a vasectomy and he laid on a couch for 2 days with a package of cold peas on his crotch. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to my mom, because I was only in fifth grade, and
what did you say? Why does dad have peas on his
front? If uh-huh. Something's wrong with his back. And I remember my mom said something about the ice goes, you know, the cold
through the body,
or whatever it was.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
So you're saying this isn't just in the person's mind that all this stuff is better. They're not just thinking that it's better because they had a vasectomy.
No.
And how do they prove this?
Okay, so this news, they were three times more likely to experience an increase in how often they had sex after getting a SNP.
Right.
Okay, and then five out of 10 surveyed said their sex lives had significantly improved. So that's a lot.
Yes.
And the men who had vasectomies, and it also women reported an increase in their arousal after their partner got the vasectomy. And there were 400 couples in the study. And it's really, here's what a vasectomy is, people. This is a pro vasectomy talk right now.
Thank you.
Local anesthesia, and it takes exactly 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So different from the olden days mm-hmm. when they sliced open your potato to get to the vas deferens. Now it's just, it's so easy. And men don't feel any pain. It has a 99.9% success rate.
And all it does is it stops the sperm from being able to leave the testicles.
That's right. And so anyway, in the study, we were able to show the sexual satisfaction of men improved and the women did not diminish. And research by Stanford University in 2015 found out that men who had the SNP had sex twice, like 8 times per month compared with 4 times per month for intact males. That's what they're calling
intact
males. And so anyway, so right now in the U.S., only 1 in 10 eligible men get vasectomies. That's half the rate of men in Canada and the U.K.
Mm.
And I think that there's a lot of women out there who would like their guy, they're done with kids, to have the vasectomy. And I'm just trying to say that...
you are giving them food for thought and a good conversation at home.
And only 1 in 10 wants it reversed. And it's a very reversible thing. Uh-huh. Just ask George Clooney.
Oh, true.
Because he had a reversal.
Right.
It is the only way that you can have a, you know, like be... I don't know. I just... You're going to have a higher sex drive and better erection, better orgasms. The ladies are too. Nobody's getting pregnant. This explains why Casey had such a successful love life after he had his 2 kids and got a vasectomy at the age of 28. And I was so mad at him when I met him, remember? Well, I didn't tell you this.
No, yeah, I remember.
But I remember, like, I was going, why would you get a vasectomy at 28?
That's very young.
And he goes, because I had 2 kids and I knew I was done. I didn't want to have any more and I wanted to have fun. Mm. And the only way you can have fun is have a vasectomy and wear a condom. You know, if you're single.
He had a
delightful 10 years of dating before he met me, as did I, even though I was married and dating. And so,
as you told you me know. All about so, in the numbers.
I'm just saying, you know, you can, and some people, some guys know they don't want, this is very, to me, this is duh, but I am shocked at how low a vasectomy rate it is here. You know?
Yeah, that's kind of surprising. I'm taking the Did You Know vasectomy facts from fiction right
now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let me talk about the muscular well-to-do men. This is a study of duh. Muscular well-to-do men are the most attractive to women and other men. Now, this just seems
that's
like
so
shallow.
So, but if physically fit guys who appear to be well-do are judged to be most attractive by a heterosexual and homosexual
disappointing
people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why not? Hello. And of course, what do we think is attractive? Looking at the biceps, the pecs, the chest, nice clothes, nice shoes,
nice
grooming.
Yep.
And then we immediately think that person looks good. They're going to be good in bed. They make money and they're fit. I would like to go out with them.
Check.
You know, and it could be a watch. Some people notice watches or what kind of technology or what kind of phone you're having, but we make all these judgments. This was a study that was done to prove that, yes, in fact, we do those things.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have just asked us.
They could have.
And we would have told them.
Mm-hmm. We do all those things.
All those things. Uh-huh. And it's...
And it happens within a half a second.
Basically. Mm-hmm. Whatever your thing is.
Right.
Like you always check out shoes.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
some people might check out like in Beverly Hills or Hollywood or different
cars.
Right. And, you know, there's different things.
There's different things that you like.
You see someone at the gym. Well, I'm going to follow him out and see what kind of car he's got. Or
have you ever done that?
No, but I may have advised somebody to do that.
Oh my gosh.
Julia, clues.
Well, you do need to know.
All right. Listen, we will be back with our favorite headlines of the day.
I'm in love with Charlie Puth.
I know, this is a good
song. It's a good song. It's got a good beat. It's easy to dance to.
I give it a 9.
I give it a 10.
All right,
How fine. Long by Charlie Puth? He won a big award over two big names at the AMAs. I'm trying to think who they were. Like,
I don't know.
Two really big people like Bruno Mars and someone else that have been around for a while, and he beat them both. I was surprised.
Yeah.
He's a good singer.
Julia, can you please do your net neutrality thing?
God.
Because, here, I keep tweeting, I've been tweeting, and I'm like, how come it doesn't tell me I only have, 10 letters left?
Because it upped to 240.
Well, you know what? I'm still keeping my tweets brief. I'm still operating in the three sentence.
It's a good exercise.
Yeah, it is. But
you only say what you want to say. All right, so I'm going to tell you what's happening. The number one trend right now
On Twitter
is hashtag net neutrality. What is net neutrality? It's not
what
a law.
What is it, Julia?
It's not a law. It's a principle. It's net neutrality is a principle in the same way that freedom of speech is. So what it is it fundamentally says that internet service providers should not be allowed to prioritize the kind of data traffic over another. This means they cannot block services purely for business reasons. So for an example, if we have Comcast as our internet provider, Comcast can't slow down the internet to Netflix in my house because Comcast is launching their own Comcast Netflix kind of like station.
Right.
And so it means everybody gets, whether you're small, big, whatever you are, you all have the right to data. It would allow internet providers to choose the sites customers see and use, basically. So they will tell you Comcast, AT&T, Xfinity, whatever it is. They're going to tell you what sites you are going to fast and what you're going too slow.
Be in the slow lane.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But right now,
we're all in the fast lane.
We're all in the fast lane.
HOV lane.
Yes,
and depending, and it doesn't matter what internet provider we have, we all have access to the same data. But what's happened is the guy who's the FCC chairman, his name is Ajit Pai, and he announced today that the FCC is going to vote on December 14th to abandon net neutrality and give the power back to the ISPs. So to the Xfinities of the world, to those kind of people of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's five people that are on the FCC board that are going to be voting. He announced it on a holiday week where it wouldn't get a lot of play.
That's right. Sneaky.
The vote is going to happen on December 14th. What this does is it will now allow companies, ISP providers, to be able to charge you more for content. If you want to go to places they don't want you to go, it'll allow them to just slow down how fast you get content from things that they're competing with in their own company. It's just really gross. But it's interesting. The guy, Ajit Pai, or whatever, however you say his name, used to be an attorney for Verizon.
Yeah.
Who was starting to do a streaming program. And so what he actually did, because for a limited period of time, I want to say in like 2006 or 2007, some ISPs, you know, these internet providers slowed down content to people they didn't want their users to have, but there was a big uproar by the users.
Yeah, because it's like going to a Schindler's or a Barnes & Noble or someplace or Lund's, mm-hmm. and they say, oh, we only sell these two kinds of newspapers or these two magazines.
Yeah.
So
everything else together.
So what happened is this guy decided, Ajit Page, when he was an attorney for Verizon, to sue the FCC. And what happened, it was under Obama, and the FCC came back with stricter rules on net neutrality.
Yeah.
So now this guy is in charge of the FCC, was appointed by Trump last January. And his whole goal has been to roll this back.
Yeah.
And because it gives big business more power, to be honest.
More money in the pockets of
and
the big business.
And for all of us just average shows out there, it's going to be, you know, Xfinity is going to tell me what I can and cannot see and the speed I'm going to see it.
Here's what Stephen King, he said, why be so worried about this net neutrality thing when the big corporations always know what's best for us? They just won't let us see anything that's too upsetting.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's terrifying.
Even know, but it's already saying that it's going to go through because there's 3 for it and 2 against it. But the number to call is 202-418-1000. And that goes directly to him. I don't know.
FCC chairman.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's going to be effective or not.
But well, you can tweet the other commissioners. It's Ajit is going to vote for it, Michael O'Reilly, and Brendan Carr. And if you follow Lori and Julia on Twitter, I've been tweeting about it. The two women that are on the FCC are for keeping,
net neutrality.
Yeah, for keeping the same thing. It's shocking to me, the FCC, which mandates TV and radio.
And it's for the consumer, is going to take the power away from the consumer.
They fine radio stations, if we were to say the F word, or they fine Janet Jackson. They are like in charge of
everything.
Everything. But, so to be in bed with business, to have them take away from we the people, is really terrifying.
But this right now, by all accounts, looks like it's going through, and it's driving everyone crazy. So if you want to speak up and do something about it, I would call Michael O'Reilly, Brendan Carr.
And you could call Speaker Ryan. You know, you could put also, you can call your Republican. I mean, you can
call Congress, senators. I called the House of Representatives and the senators today from Minnesota.
Because to me, I feel like something like this could end up, but in the meantime, you know, we'd all would be screwed, could maybe end up in court.
In front of the Supreme Court.
Because it seems like such a free speech impediment for the people.
But the ISP companies, you know, the Comcast of the world, they think they're being impended.
Netflix is against this. Everybody sensible. Everyone else is against it.
Someone's going to tell you what you can and cannot do.
Yeah, it's horrible. All right.
It's going to affect our jobs.
Julia, here's our favorite headline today. Just because we were looking for inspiration.
I just want to say, educate yourself on what net neutrality is, because it's a big darn deal and a lot of people don't know about it.
And it's got nothing to do with who you vote for.
No, it is bipartisan.
This is in the best interest of the American people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, in the best interest of our listeners, headline today was Jay-Z stopping a show in Cleveland to give an inspirational speech to a little girl. And the video was posted. Somebody was right there. And he just paused and gave a little motivational speech to a 9-year-old in the audience. He said, you can be anything you want to be when you grow up. And I'll tell you, in this moment in time, America is way more sexist than they are racist. So you, young lady, you got the potential to be the next president. It's really cute.
Very nice.
And I, appreciated him, like, calling out, because the sexist stuff that's just coming out of Hollywood, just people are just, like, just going, oh, my God, they're just grabbing their head. You know,
it's another one bites the dust. Yeah. And I don't know who it's going to be tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, we don't know either. We really don't. Donnie, what other headlines we got?
Oh, we got maybe time for one.
All right.
The Shanghai Victoria's Secret show looked like a total snooze fest. Well, except for that one model that fell down.
The Chinese model that fell. Well, you know, I mean, it's geek at it.
Sometimes the shoes don't fit.
And sometimes the long trains that they make those ladies wear.
It's hard to walk,
in 7-inch heels.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Everyone have a great night.
As we both know.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
In our memories now.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Job done. Off you go.